It's time for my favorite program. This is the program we talk about you. And, you know, all the events that are going on in the world are nothing different than the earth-shaking events that took place in the first century, the second century. Christians have always been alive and at the epicenter of historic upheavals. And we've been there during long periods of apparent dormancy where the kingdom of God built and built and built. And we produced the Reformation and the civilization of Europe that came to the United States that really shaped the whole globe in terms of industry and science and the rule of law and economics. And in so many ways, Christianity has never been studied properly to see how it has been a driving force for the discipling of nations and the elevating of mankind. But I could prove to you with information, with data actually, how it is the people of God responding to God that have literally lifted every nation up into the level of civilization that you see today, a civilization that is still fragile because it can be taken over and dominated by ruthless power. And your job is to make sure that the devil is bound and that the kingdom goes on. And you do that by fulfilling your own destiny. I'm on the show today. I've got Mercedes Sparks here. I've got Carl with me. And we're working today with our Level 10 curriculum.
Yeah, we are.
Focusing specifically on becoming unstoppable. We're finishing up this one module out of our series, and we're going into the powerful part, which is called the I am statement. Now, why is the I am statement important, Carl? Why is this necessary?
Well, if you know you don't know who you are, it's difficult to know how you're going to act in different circumstances. It's difficult to know what you stand for. It's difficult to know what you're going to fall for. And if you don't, what's that saying? If you don't stand for anything, then you'll fall for anything.
If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything.
That's it. If you don't stand for something, then you'll fall for anything. So knowing who you are in the grand scheme of your life has incredible impact on what you can do and where your limits lie.
Every now and then, Mercedes, I hear you bring up the term, and I've heard it used before, but I never heard it really defined. You say that people can all suffer from an imposter syndrome. What is that?
So imposter syndrome is like if you're in a big board meeting, and you know, you have the resume, you have the experience, but like you're sitting there and you're feeling like everyone else here is so much smarter than me. I probably don't actually know what I'm talking about, but all these people do. And so it can happen all the time. It can happen, you know, I mean, I feel it from time to time when I sit in rooms with certain people, or if I like get up to speak somewhere, you know, I have this feeling of like, am I really as qualified as I think I am? These other people are so much more smart. So it's a feeling of being an imposter. And I want to say too, let me just get this in really quick. Carl, so happy you're back. And yes, I know you weren't with us the other day on the podcast. You weren't feeling well. You're still getting over it and recovering. So just prayers for Carl, everyone. So he continues in his recovery.
Prayers and tithes and offerings.
Okay.
All are accepted. Thank you.
Well, I'm glad you're on today, even if you're not feeling well. But that's soldiering on, as we say. It's doing in the Super Bowl. You see these guys all bandaged up and they're bleeding, but they all want to be in the game because you get life is a Super Bowl game. You only got so many innings, so many rounds, so many opportunities to go play. And even if you're hurt, you show up and play because you don't want to miss the game. And so I'm glad you're doing this. The I am statement, to me, is what Jesus did. So, you know, Jesus is the ultimate mentor in all of this. So you go to page 51 of the manual on the I am becoming unstoppable. Those of you that are giving me your reports of how this is changing your life, I'm inspired by all of them. Our model of mastery we have written here is Jesus. And he was very clear on his identity and on his destiny. Now, he is the ultimate I am statement guy. He's the one who said, I am the good shepherd. I am the door. I am the way, the truth, the life. And so if you're going to be like Jesus, you need to have the Father solidify in you your role, your place, and your assignment. And the reason why the I am statement is important when it's done properly is that it gives you a tool so that when the imposter shows up, when self-doubt comes over you, when you start to feel like smaller than you really are. And it's a spiritual warfare, folks. Remember, Satan's whole battle is over identity in the wilderness with Jesus. Has God, you know, if you are the Son of God, then do this. If you are, then do that. It's the whole deep psychological battle of, if you are who you think you are, then there's the pressure to have to perform in some way. But you see, when you have an I am statement, it clarifies that for you, because it's a prophetic statement, highly prophetic, meaning it speaks to your ultimate purpose, your ultimate identity, and your ultimate assignment. So I am the door, or I am the shepherd, or the good shepherd, or I am the way, the truth, and the life, or I am the bread of life. At every moment, Jesus was articulating how he was uniquely assigned to meet the need for humanity. Every one of those has to do with a human interaction. An I am statement should imply who you are, what you do, and who you do it for. It's not just about you. It's about what God's doing through you. And ironically, your gifts, talents, and abilities aren't for you. They're for someone else. And so the ramp into every one of those moments is always something that's taking place, which the Father has Jesus doing, that ultimately the Lord wants people to see that it's bigger than the provision of the food, and it's bigger than the solving of the problem. It's the person, it's the identity. Mm-hmm. Your heavenly identity is what the I am statement is. And Jesus was doing these things to reveal the identity. The question is, when you come to the crossroad of decision, do you have a statement you can default to that clarifies for you what you ought to do? And that's the power of an I am statement. So let me say it again. It's not just a psychological tool so when you're not feeling clear about your identity. Well, I am a this, I am a that. It's so that when you're faced with the decision, should I do this or should I do that? And you feel the anxiety, the uncertainty, or the confusion of which choice to make, the I am statement, if you close your eyes and say it, says, based on that, this is what that identity would do. And the example I give, which is very close to home, is when my daughter was going to do a beauty pageant. And she was not so sure she wanted to do it, even though she was already had funding and it was a Miss Texas teen, you know, Miss Texas USA or something. But she was really feeling like she was getting negative feedback from her girlfriends. Like, why would you do that? Oh, you're going to go like, what, walk, you know, strut around on a runway in a bikini? Like, why even? So you had a lot of Christian feminists, I guess, were giving her a problem. And so she came to meet with me and said that she was going to back out. Well, I'm her dad. So I said, well, why are you doing it? And she gave me all the reasons why, compelling reasons why. She didn't feel like it was something which she really felt she needed to do. I said, okay, that makes sense. What's your I am statement, by the way? I just asked you, what's your I am statement? We just did it at a weekend retreat with a lot of young people. She said, like, I am Joy Christiana. I am a fearless something, 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 something. And then she said, so I made up my mind. I said, okay, you're not going to do it. She goes, no, I made up my mind. I'm going to do it. I go, oof. You have to have daughters to appreciate how confusing female logic is sometimes. She just convinced me why, and she had to convince me as to why she wasn't going to do it. Then she said, I'm going to do it. I go, why? She said, I just decided. And then she gets up and walks away. I'm thinking, who can fathom the mind of a female? I can't, it's my own daughter and I can't figure it out. But then later on, I reflected, what did I ask her? For her I am, evidently her I am statement said something. And I think the one line that got me is fearless. And what she had done was she had challenged herself in the I am statement to meet the moment when she would back away from something because of uncertainty, anxiety, a reluctance, not wanting to fail, and then realize that's fear. And then she made a beautiful, courageous decision to push through. So an I am statement should not only be made up of two accurate words or more that describe powerfully what your greatest real strengths are, not ones that you aspire to, but ones that are recognizable. And then I always suggest we add a third component. And I really got this studying the Clemmer process. A friend of mine, Brian Clemmer, who had an I am statement experience he did with programs. And in that third element, you put in what is your greatest weakness? What is your greatest constraint? Because you'll rise to the height of your dominant talent and anointing, and you'll be held at that level by the impact of your dominant constraint. Smart people don't keep focusing on more prophecies or more anointing or more gifting. They focus on constraint. Because if your constraint is you quit too easily, then no matter what your gifting is, it checks out at the moment you meet opposition and you feel like quitting and choose to just go get another job, get out of the relationship, go to a different church, change your major. And if that's your response, then what you want to build into your I am statement is your strengths, your strength, and then the weakness you want to transform. And you do that not by saying, and I am a formidable communicator, a courageous leader, and I quit a lot, so I'm not going to quit. You don't say that. You say, and I am unstoppable. That's where this series came from. A number of people I was working with when we were doing this particular module were giving up. They were giving up on themselves. They were giving up on a job. They were giving up on a calling. They were giving up on an aspiration. And I said, wait a second. You're letting your circumstances dictate your destiny. Who did God call you to be? Unstoppable. And so I put this in there because it happens to be generationally with a lot of believers in this decade. Two things I've noticed. They can't get clear and they quit too soon. And so laser-like clarity became one of my favorite terms, which I even used it in my own. So that when I'm diffused ADD brain that I've got with all the information, you see my bookshelves, I got so many things I could get into. It's easy for me to distract myself with something interesting. So I have to have laser-like focus and be unstoppable. Those are two constraints that I balance out with those two terms. And I'm sharing with you why the terminology is so powerful. So you build two strengths, one constraint flipped, and make it an empowering word that challenges you to become something.
So the formula is, and maybe you could write, I don't know if the iPad's working, if we could write it out, but it starts with what? I am, and then strength, comma, reworked weakness. We turn it into a strength. Like I am consistent. Is that correct?
So if you go to page 51 and 52.
I know, but for people on the podcast, they may not have that.
And then you might not have it. So it would be, for instance, if to make it simple, now, sometimes you might have prophetic language. Remember, this is an I am statement for you. We don't actually ask people, unless we're in the program or doing training on a weekend, we don't have you share it with others. It's powerful when you can, but a lot of times it's very personal. So, for instance, suppose there's a prophetic word that has a great deal of meaning to you, but you'd have to explain it to someone else. Mm-hmm. And it's like, suppose that, like in my case, I remember I received a prophecy when I was young, and it helped me to leave the business world and go into ministry. And the word was, you will be a flame of fire in my fields, was a prophecy I got. And you will turn them to righteousness like a herald of God. So for me, there are times when the I am statement might be, the two strengths that I definitely got is persuasion and ideation. Ideation is a strengths finder word for someone who can think in terms of concepts and communicate them effectively. So, you know, my name is Lance Walnut. I am a man sent by God. I am a passionate, powerful persuader. I am a strategic ideation machine sent from heaven as a flame of fire in God's field. I am unstoppable in my assignment. That would be an I am statement. And that statement alone may allow me for a period of time, and you can always modify it, but there's been times when I needed to know that I am a flame of fire because I didn't feel like one. And being in God's field is a flame of fire or a herald, which means to proclaim something. There's times when I felt like, you know, that's not what I really want to do. I don't feel like getting beat up proclaiming stuff all the time. But when I go back to the statement, it inspires me that I'm a persuader. I'm an ideation machine. I've got blueprints that actually can transform lives and organizations and nations. And so therefore, that's the I am statement that I've unpacked from time to time. Does that make sense?
It does, but I want to dissect it a bit. So you said, my name is Lance. So if somebody's listening to it, my name is Susan. and I am a woman sent by God. I heard you mention that. So have we talked about that, of why we
add
that in
there? Yeah, the last broadcast, I had them do this. If you go back to a previous one, I remember being in a meeting where John the Baptist is speaking. You know, in chapter one of actually the Gospel of St. John, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. That's a statement in chapter one of John's Gospel. And there was a man sent from God. And the preacher said, you realize that every one of you is called as an ambassador of the kingdom. That every one of you, the moment that you're born again, you begin the journey of being set apart as a man or a woman of God. And he said, practice it. I want you all the men to stand and say, I am a man sent from God. There was a man sent from God. His name was, and say your name. I remember doing it and thinking, it feels so weird. It feels like an imposter. Mm-hmm. Like I'm sent by God, but that's what the Bible says. Then the women all got up and did it. And I could see they were having the same struggle, but the more that they did it, there was a woman sent from God. Her name was Mercedes. Mm-hmm. There's something about saying it until you can agree with it that really allows you to become it. Mm. So my name is Lance. I am a man sent by God. I'm a flame of fire in God's field, a herald of divine blueprints that can change lives and nations. I am an unstoppable force. There was a time when that statement needed to be said by me, to me, many times, in order to feel like I could go into boardrooms, into government agencies, into the United Nations, into colleges, that I was somebody who would, and thank God that there was also prophecy, that I had other people had said it over me that didn't even know me, which is even more interesting, that it resonated. This was actually that I'm a man that has blueprints, I'm a herald, and I am an ambassador, I am a flame of fire. And then I was thinking recently, Kim Clement had given words and said that, you know, you will be a spokesman for a move of God. And he said this word over and over again. I thought it had to do with him because he was such an interesting prophet. And I could see a movement kind of spawning out of that Elijah-type anointing. And I realized that now is when that word needs to come. I have to update my own I am statement. That, you know, that I am a flame of fire in God's field. I am a herald and a spokesman for the move of God. Because I think there's a move of God that's happening in this great awakening. And it's controversial because it's political, it's cultural, and it's spiritual.
And so how do people then, Lance, distill down? So you have the flame of fire. You're a herald with divine blueprints. And you're an unstoppable force. So the last line there is kind of like that inverse action. But how do people, because I sit here and I think like, well, how would I know, like, what are the things I'm best at? Like, what are the things that are the most important that I need to put in there? You know, how do you refine it down? How do I start to figure that out?
All right, so Carl, when we have that in the manual.
Page 40.
All right. So what is that talking about?
It's regarding to developing your own personal passion list and how to create your first list. So it starts with, don't include a goal. It doesn't have to have some end result. It has to involve the activity, the lead measure, as I've mentioned before, that will impact the lag measure. Don't include your favorite spiritual activities. We say that, such as praying, worshiping, or being in the presence of God. Of course, these are important, but they are the natural appetites that are universal to all believers who have tasted the powers of the age to come, and they are not measurable. Finally, don't include values. Values are characteristics like generosity, devotion, purity. Your passions are talents, skills, abilities, those things you would be using and pursuing even if you didn't yet know God. And then finally, do start each item with a verb and make them measurable enough to be able to envision them. So these are the four prompts that we give in writing out your very first passion list.
And that's in designing your passion list, which in a sense is helpful in your I am statement in terms of what is it that you see yourself doing with the adjectives that describe you. To the question I think Mercedes is digging in on is page 27. Which is, if I don't know what my core, most dominant strengths are that God gave me, then just take a look at these four boxes, because we've got them listed so simple. If you, and we do this based on temperament. I'm a big believer in instrument-rated feedback, because whether it's a StrengthsFinder or Myers-Briggs or an Enneagram or a DISC profile, all of them are designed in order to, they're called four-factor instruments for to a great degree, because there's like, basically human beings are divided into certain categories of personality types or tendencies. For instance, there's the lion in the curtain that is in the veil of the Holy of Holies. You have this beautiful image of a lion, an oxen, an eagle, and a man. Lion, oxen, eagle, man. Why would God have those images in the most holy part of a temple that he constructed? And why in the world would the Bible say that that curtain corresponds to Jesus' flesh, so that when Jesus cried out, "It is finished," the curtain was torn, and those four strange images that are on the curtain, torn, and the glory of God was suddenly released through the torn flesh of Jesus. What did Jesus have to do with a lion, a man, an ox, and an eagle? That's his flesh.
Sounds like a Jewish joke.
I know, it does. A rabbi, a priest, and a pastor going to a bar. But now, well, what does it have to do? And here's what it is. It represents four attributes of the divine nature in man that is revealed in human being, flesh and blood. There's the lion. The lion characteristics are they take authority, they show up. Now think about this, could be you. How does this sound like you? Are you someone who takes authority, shows power, takes risks, gets results, a natural leader, inspires action, challenges the status quo? We gave you a list of characteristics. Choose if you can't come up with others. Choose from that list the one or two that describe you. If you're the face of man, is that inspirational, creative, visionary, charismatic, articulate, encouraging, communicating, and bold? If that's the characteristics of the face of man. The face of the oxen is the caring, nurturing, tactful, empathetic, sincere, stable, strong, consistent. Those are the words of the oxen. And the eagle, focused, accurate, precise, expert, genius capacity, excellence in execution, mastery of the details. That those are the characteristics of the eagle, you know, in terms of those four temperaments. The point is that if you can, and everyone ought to be able to do this, you can go to your best friends and ask them, what are the two or three characteristics you think that I have as strengths that are unique, consistently used by me all the time? And you'll find out people will give you feedback that'll resonate with this information I'm giving you now, because what you're doing is by temperament or design. And to Carl's point, you do these things before you're a believer. So in a sense, God wove them into you for his kingdom. And if you sanctify yourself, they can be used for his kingdom. So it's easy to find your two, we call it signature strengths. Two or more signature strengths. But we say list two, list the two dominant ones that you don't even doubt. And then you list the one that you want to develop.
And Mercedes, it seemed like you had something to say. Sorry.
No, I just thought the advice of asking a really good friend is good, because I think I get too confused of like, well, what would I put? Like, I think I start to overthink it. And you're like, is it being a mom? Is it, you know, like you get it's like spiritual about it? You know, is it a Christian? And so it's like, you know, what am I putting there? So I think, yeah, I think that's great advice to ask somebody who knows you really well, that loves you, and say, yeah, you know, wow, Carl, I really see, like, you know, you have a lot of discernment. I think you have discernment. I think you have great leadership. You know, like, I could just rattle them off for both of you, probably easier than, I don't know. I mean, maybe you both know yourselves really well, but I'm just saying, I think it's easier for you to do that in other people sometimes than even for yourself.
Yeah. That was basically my comment question, is like, how significant and important is it to get outside feedback in regards to our own identity?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, that's a great question. And the truth is that if your I am statement, when you make it, doesn't sound like you to someone that knows you, then you might want to ask for some feedback.
And on that note, let's go to your major constraint. I'm just like,
yeah, right.
I don't know if unstoppable is it, Lance.
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of like a whirlwind.
Clarity. Let's talk about focus. Yeah, no, we're having fun.
Just joking.
No, but but you make a good point. So in the example that we have here,
yes,
I mean, I've even moved on from the example we published, because one of my, you know, characteristics. I love change. So I'm changing these a lot. But the point is to be able to come up with a statement that captures who you are, I am, this and this. And then also, I want to add something you guys didn't catch, which is my name is Lance Wallnau. I am a man sent from God. I am sent by God. I am a flame of fire in God's field, a herald of divine blueprints that can change lives and nations. I'm adding this to the material because I realized something, that we design this so that it's who you are and what you do. But you should be also on page 52, we say, and who do you do it for? Mm-hmm. Because Jesus said in his I am statement, I am not sent to any but the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Interesting statement. Your I am statement shouldn't be so broad that it has nothing but sunny, ascending options. It should narrow you down. So you want to ask yourself, to who are you sent in this season? A very powerful question for everyone, because Paul said, though doubtless I am not an apostle to others, yet I am to you. I am not sent to anyone but the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So you have to ask yourself, who are you sent to? And even in my sense, I have a broad categories, but I'm saying I carry blueprints that can change lives. That's individual and nations. That these ideas, the Seven Mountains ideas, have gone around the world. These ideas can change nations. And now I'm working with some people that are involved with governments in different countries. Well, how do these ideas work in nations? So once again, a flame of fire in God's fields, a herald with divine blueprints, with power to change lives and nations. And in this assignment, I am unstoppable.
Still sounds pretty broad. It sounds empowering and powerful, and you got some really good buzzwords in there, but to me, it still sounds pretty broad.
Yeah, and it is a bit of a challenge here, mm-hmm. And I agree with you, because I don't want my students to do that.
Okay.
My challenge is, because I have an international platform, I do meet with, like I was just recently meeting with some fashion designers, wealthy business people in Portugal. They said they want to start a third party politically, and they want their country to be a sheep nation. I've got people in Brazil that work with the government. They want it to be a sheep. So the sheep nation thing gets me into countries. But I would say, mm-hmm. if I was to really bring this down to my own personal I am statement for this season.
Yes, sir.
I'm not a spokesman for a move of God in Portugal. I'm a spokesman for a move of God in the United States, where the church community is concerned, and where American citizens are desiring to save their nation. So I would probably make it more specific and say to the church in America and to concerned citizens that want to save their country. What? Mercedes rolling her eyes? You guys don't see the eye roll I get here. What?
I'm not. I just shook my head like,
why? 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 Too broad still?
No, I think that actually you're called to kings and political leaders, and I think it's too narrow, honestly, because you're apostolic in nature is the reality, that God moves you to whatever mountain he's operating in, and whenever you're in front of somebody, you know, it's like you're called to prophesy to those people. I mean, you're in front of presidents and kings a lot. Annabelle's over there helping the homeless in Fort Worth. I mean, together you guys are an amazing, beautiful picture of Jesus and how he really operated in the earth. So I don't know. You know, that's why I was just thinking through it. I'm very expressive when I think. I'm like, I don't know. But I think you are, the broad nature of what you wrote there is almost needed for the mantle and the calling on your life is what I was thinking. It'd be way different than, like, I think Carl and I.
Yeah. So I guess if I could boil it down, it's kind of like we're saying that there really is no one size fits all. There's a certain format and a formula that we encourage people to do, but there really
Totally true.
Oh, I thought you said totally not true. I was like, oh, okay, Lance is playing. Lance came to play. No, okay. We have a formula that we encourage people to start with. But when you actually get the feedback from your friend group, when you have said your identity statement a handful of times, you'll know what works for you and you'll know what doesn't just because of that internal gut check. So just be encouraged in that when you're going through this process.
Lance, I have a question because this is all really good. I'm wondering, are you able to just go ahead and take your superpowers of processing people and potentially do a I am statement for me?
Okay, so you're talking about doing I Am Statements live right now.
Yeah, like you would on stage. Like you would walk somebody through this.
All right, okay. Well, this would require us to have focused energy on that segment. So here's what I'm going to recommend we do. Why don't we end this segment here? We'll pick up again the next one because we got two broadcasts. And we'll focus in on you and anyone else and Carl, okay? and we'll model for folks the kind of conversations you're going to have with people at home. This is what you're going to do with people. You're going to say, hey, I'm interested in, you know, getting some feedback on what kind of signature strengths do I have that I use consistently. And I'm looking for some feedback. And just tell them you're doing a coaching program. Just say, hey, I'm part of a coaching program and I have to ask two important people in my life for feedback. Would you be willing to help? And then I just need feedback on two strengths you see me using consistently. And how do you see me using them? Boom, you're going to get a wealth of information. It's like thousands of dollars worth of psychological data just from that conversation. Excellent. But for you to be able to see the model of how we do it, I do live processing with PowerPoints and all kinds of stuff on video 7, I guess it's track 7, rather, in our series, which is in Becoming Unstoppable. This is one. We have like 4 different modules. We're going to be covering level 10. Get all 4. Like some of my coach clients, I just get the whole thing and go through it, or stick with the one we're in right now. Becoming Unstoppable, go to level10living.com. Level10living.com. You can see it right there on the screen. Thank you for bringing up that lower third. Use the code podcast, I see, and we're giving like 20% off. So if you go to level10living.com, use the code podcast, you can get 20% off. That way, when we come back for the next episode, you'll be able to go on page 56 or whatever it is and work with us as we go through the data. I look forward to seeing you. This is my favorite, most empowering show. I wish I could do this every day because destiny is what life is all about. Talk to you again in a moment.
Thanks for listening to this Lance Wall Now broadcast. If you enjoyed today's show, make sure to subscribe and share the episode. See you tomorrow.